Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
For today, we are going to be looking at the fruit of faithfulness. The faithfulness of God and the faithfulness that we should have in our lives. So before we go any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for this morning, Lord. God, I thank you that you know how each day is going to take place, Lord. You know the changes, all of it, Lord God, and you're not surprised by it, Father. And so, Lord, we just continue to give you praise and glory. And Father, I pray this morning as we dive into your word, Lord Jesus, that you would just open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have from us, Lord Jesus. And God, I pray for your anointing to rest on me, Lord, and that you would just use me this morning. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. So when you think about faithfulness, I've got some questions for you, but these are rhetorical questions. So you don't actually have to answer them, but I do want you to think about them. They're to stir up some good thinking conversation things later. So remember, these are all about faithfulness. So do you apply the same standards of faithfulness to your Christian activities that you expect from other areas of your life? If your car starts once every three times, is it reliable? Probably not. Just saying. If you don't go to work once or twice a month, are you a loyal employee? If your refrigerator stops working for a day or two every now and then, do you say, oh, well, it works most of the time? If your water heater provides an icy cold shower every now and then, is it dependable? I mean, if you like ice showers, I guess so. That's not me, though. If you miss a couple of loan payments every year, does the bank say, well, 10 out of 12 isn't bad? If you fail to worship God one or two Sundays a month, would you expect to be called a faithful Christian? I think those first two, the first question and the last question kind of hit home, hit hard. See, we expect faithfulness and reliability from things and other people. So does not God and others expect the same from us? If we're expecting this microphone to be faithful and keep going so I don't have to yell, this is a thing. Y'all are faithful right now to make sure those chairs are going to hold you. Have you ever sat down in a chair thinking it was going to hold you and there goes? It's no longer faithful, right? I've been there, done that. That hurts. But the point is we have this expectancy for things to be faithful. It may not be the thought that comes across our mind all of a sudden, but it's there nonetheless. And it's the same thing. We are expecting that God is to be faithful to us. So why wouldn't God expect us to be faithful back to him as well? The word faithful in Galatians 5 is the state of being someone in whom complete confidence can be placed. Some other words that describe it is trustworthiness, dependability, and faithfulness. Complete confidence. There's no doubts there in that it's going to be faithful. There are two areas in our lives that we need to be proven faithful as Christians. Two areas. Faithful to God first and foremost, and then faithful to each other as well. And it's hard to think that one, that you can be faithful to God and not be faithful to those around you. It doesn't line up. And you can't be faithful to others if you're not going to be faithful to God. It may seem like you are, but as a believer, we should be faithful to God. So as we're looking in Scripture, there are so many wonderful examples of faithfulness throughout Scripture. And if you haven't read the Bible from front to back, from Genesis to Exodus, I highly recommend it. Do I always understand it? No. But the point is that you are getting the full picture of God's faithfulness. It's so hard to grasp his faithfulness to begin with, but if you're only seeing parts of it through scripture, then you're missing out. So I'm just going to put that plug in there. If you were coming into the new year, make a plan to read this Bible from front to finish at least one time in 2026 and see what God does as you dive into his word. So one of those faithful examples that we have in scripture is by a man named David. Now, most of us know him as King David. And out of all the kings that scripture mentions, King David is the one that has the most information about as well. So I would say his story is pretty important to learn from. If there's so much information there, so much we can learn and glean from as well. David did not start out as king. If you know the story, David was a shepherd boy at the very beginning. And that was what he was on the day that he was presented last by his dad Jesse to Samuel the prophet when God had told Samuel, King Saul is out, and now I want a new king, and it's going to be David. But David was the last one presented, and he was the shepherd boy as well. And he was meant to be the next king of Israel. And throughout the whole process, God reveals how he chose David above all the other. The oldest son that came through, Samuel thought, I bet it's him because he's good looking. He looks like he would be a good king. God's like, nope, not him. But when he gets to David, this is something that's also really well known about David. In 1 Samuel 16:17, it says, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So why did God choose David? God saw something in David's heart that was going to be a key component throughout his walk, throughout his life, and into the kingship of Israel as well. God saw his heart. And also keep in mind that God knew David's whole life. Even before he chose him, he knew him from the moment he was in his mother's womb, before the womb, and to the very last day that he would breathe his last. God knew everything about David, and he still chose him to be king. He knew all the victories that he was going to have. He knew every single failure he was going to have. It's the same thing for you and I. God knew us before we were ever in our mother's womb. He knew us before then. He knows us. Now he sees what's to come. He's a faithful God. In Acts 13:22, we find what scripture says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do my will." Which refers all the way back to, that was in Acts, but it refers back to the Old Testament, which is once again why it's so important to read old and new. They connect and intertwine with each other. And I love it. A man after my own heart. That's what God said about David. He will do my will. I don't know if you know about Saul. Beforehand, Saul was not doing the will of God, which is why he was no longer fit to be king. God saw that David would do his will. And that's what he's looking for in us, is that we are going to be obedient and do the will that he has for us. That's where faithfulness comes in. Faithfulness is shown through obedience as well. So with this understanding of David, we come to our first thought concerning faithfulness that should be produced in every Christian life. So faithfulness to God should be a trademark of God's people. Faithfulness to God should be one of the trademarks of God's people. We should be recognized through our faithfulness. Matthew 25:23 says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." So in this moment, the Lord proclaims this as a teaching moment with a parable concerning the talents of the master. So if you remember the story about the talents, and the master gave out several different amounts of talents to his workers, and he goes away and he expects them to be faithful, faithful to make things grow. We're going to go that way. And then he comes back and he calls them back in and asks, "Well, what'd you do with the money that I gave you?" And those that were faithful over a few things, they made him ruler over many things. Faithfulness was there, and they were rewarded through their faithfulness as well. So, in the Christian world, we need a revival of faithfulness unto God. We need more faithfulness to the Lord. I don't know about y'all, but growing up, Sundays used to be set aside for the Lord. You get up in the morning, you go to church, you go Sunday morning, go Sunday night. It was a day set aside for him to be able to worship and to come into his house. And then slowly throughout time, things have shifted. Culture has shifted. And sports became a thing. It used to be on Wednesdays, and now sports are on Sunday, and people are just taking, Christians are walking away from the house of the Lord to go and do sports and other things like that. And part of being faithful to the Lord is being in his house and in his presence as well. And we need more of that. We need more faithfulness to the Lord in today's time and age. So many teach nothing is required, just grace, 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 grace. Grace covers it all, and you can do whatever you want, and grace has you, which is not biblical. That's not true. But yet that is the teaching from the pulpit in today's society. Jesus does not expect anything in return, from since he gave everything. Yet we find Christ rewarding faithfulness and not unfaithfulness. In that passage of scripture that we read, we show that there were rewards for being faithful. And he will continue to reward us in our faithfulness as well. Acts 7:55 says, or notes, that Jesus was standing on the right hand of God as Stephen's enemy stoned him to death. So if you remember the story about Stephen is also known as the first martyr in scripture. And he was killed for his faith. He was telling the people of all that Christ had done. And when they got to the point of the crucifixion, they did not like it. And so Stephen was killed, but in the midst of it, it is noted that Jesus was standing on the right hand of God. So why was he standing? You know, he's seeing Stephen be murdered, martyred, same thing in this point, for his faith, and Jesus is standing right there watching. So why? So, to kind of help illustrate it, we are in prime football season, are we not? Prime football season. And you know football fans, so let's suppose you are one. Hopefully, maybe you are, maybe you're not. So think, if you're not a football fan, think about your favorite sport that you like or your favorite activity that you got to cheer someone on. So when we think about football fans, here's the scene. The score is tied with less than a minute to play. Your team has the ball on the opponent's 1 yard line. What would you be doing? Are you sitting down? Reading the player's name in the program? Now, you might be if you're not really a true fan, but if you're a fan, are you doing that? Are you twiddling your thumbs? No. You're standing up and you're cheering, you're yelling for them to get the ball. You are putting all of your energy and effort, like they can hear you. They can't hear you, but they can hear the noise. I remember I loved Friday nights, going to high school football games and getting to be in the stands. Did I know a lot was going on? No. But I knew when we were close to scoring, and I knew that when we needed to, like, you know, put everything out and keep the other team from scoring. Everyone in the stands were standing, yelling and just supporting and telling the football players what to do. You want to get involved and active in it. And so Jesus cheers just like that for those like Stephen who are faithful unto death. What looks like defeat to some is eternal victory. And that's something to get excited about. Jesus cheers us on. In the midst of our suffering, as we are continuing to be faithful to the Lord, he is cheering us on the sidelines. He's not sitting there just not interested at all. He knows you. He wants to be a part of your life. So he is going to cheer you on and to encourage you to remain faithful to him. This race is not easy. This life is not easy. There are trials after trials after trials that will begin to wear us down. And in those moments of where we are being worn down, Jesus is standing and saying, I'm here. I'm going to keep helping you. I will give you the strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what Paul was saying. And out of all the examples in Scripture, Paul, I think about, he suffered so much beatings and starvation and shipwrecks. He went through so much, and yet he remained faithful to the very end. We can't remain faithful to the Lord if we ignore him. We can't remain faithful to the Lord if we stay in our pity parties. I am a very emotionally ran person. I've learned that about myself. And so I know I have moments where I get, woe is me. But then I recall Scripture and I bring it to the Lord and it's like, Lord, help me out of this because I'm going down a rabbit hole again. And he does it every single time. But it takes us remembering that he is there standing for us and fighting for us. He is faithful. David was faithful to stand for God in the midst of his culture. Who would have thought that we would need an example of standing strong and faithful in our culture? See, Scripture is alive and relevant, even to this day. And right now, we are in a cultural battle. As Christians, we are coming up against a line that is very, you got to know what the Word of God says. If you don't know what the Word of God says, you are going to be taken down a trail that will lead you straight into hell. And so we have to, culture can take you down there too. One of the ways that David stood up in the midst of his culture is when we think about the battle of Goliath as well. So when he went up against Goliath, God's people were afraid because of the fear that Goliath had released into the culture. 1 Samuel 17:45 says, Then David said to the Philistine, You come to me with a sword, with the spear, with the javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. David stood up for God even when the king and everybody else would not. And this isn't the first time. Goliath had come after day after day after day taunting the Israelites and saying, basically, you're not going to defeat me, so why are you out there? Over and over and over again. And he was a giant. I don't know about you, but just being a giant alone would cause fear to rise up. I'm kind of glad we don't have giants today. But this massive warrior creates this fear amongst the children of God. And David comes in simply because his dad said, hey, go check on your brothers, bring them some food. And so he's there, and then he all of a sudden hears this taunt that Goliath gives to the army. And he goes about and asking, what is this? And David recognizes that what Goliath is doing is that he is not defying Israel's army, but he's defying God. And that's a very big difference. And in all of that, that is what he comes out to the battle Goliath with and says, no, basically I'm not going to let you defy my God. My God is greater than you. And is more powerful than you. He's going against the culture of just sitting there and being afraid of what would happen if they tried. Even the king of that time had fallen into the atmosphere of fear and defeat as well. Doesn't matter what level you're at in society, whether you're the highest person up or the lowest person on the food chain, we all have the ability to fall and stumble. We all have the ability to choose to be unfaithful to the Lord. In any phases of our walk with God, we can fall. But God. And in this instance, David was victorious with just a smooth stone and a slingshot. Took 5 stones with him, and he used his slingshot and hit Goliath, and Goliath was dead. Because of God. God was there fighting for him. David didn't do it in his own strength. And when we want to be faithful, we must tap into the strength of the Lord. And reminder that he's faithful will stir up in us to want to be faithful as well. Matthew 10:32 through 33 says, therefore, whoever confessed me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Oftentimes we'll read this verse and go straight past it. Be like, nope. But let's let that sink in for a second. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. This ties into faithfulness. Because in the moment of when you are challenged to deny God, whether that's in the workplace, or out and about as you are shopping in our culture, someone gives the opportunity to deny your faith, you have a moment to choose to be faithful or not. And it happens more often than we think. Master Mark Yu Chao watched his father die for his faith during China's Cultural Revolution. The Red Guard arrested his father for preaching the gospel and beat him within an inch of his life. The guards made Mark and his son watch as they tortured him, breaking several of his bones and covering him in his own blood. At a cemetery, they had a mock trial where they accused Mark's dad of being an enemy of the state, but gave him the opportunity to live if he would recant his faith. "We offer you this precious chance for life," they said. "Choose wisely." Mark's father responded, "You can cut my head off and you can spill my blood, but I will never forsake Jesus Christ. He has been faithful to me and has blessed me for many years, and nothing you do can ever make me renounce my loving friend and Savior." The guards rushed him and beat him to death to the dismay of the crowd. Looking back on the event, Mark said, "Because of the example of my father, who was willing to endure to the very end, great fruit has resulted. In Shangdo province today, I, his son, still follow Christ, as do my own son and my grandson. Three generations have followed the Lord, and we hope many more generations will come also." There's power when you remain faithful to the Lord. There is power and testimony and witness to those around you when you remain faithful to the Lord. More recently, I have a friend who is in a very similar situation right now, where she has been told to deny her faith so that she can be welcomed back into her community. She is facing that choice to remain faithful to Jesus or to walk away. I had a friend that decided to give his life to the Lord amidst culture, amidst community. And I didn't have the pleasure of getting to know him, but my other friend did. He was actually the one that led him to the Lord. And recently, they found him dead right after a conversation he had with his family. He died for his faith. Those seem like really big opportunities that maybe here in the States it's harder to grasp our minds around, because we live in a freedom, or a country of freedom of religion, freedom of speech. But it's something to think about. It's something to wrestle with when you think about, what would I do in this situation? Would I be able to remain faithful? How much do I love the Lord? Would I truly give him my life? Would I let them kill myself or someone else to remain faithful to the Lord? Those are hard, hard questions to ask. And I hope and pray that our country never faces that. But if it ever does, will we remain faithful to him? There's strength in faithfulness. See, David was faithful to fulfill his God-anointed purpose. So first, David was faithful to stand before God in the midst of culture. And now we see that David was faithful to fulfill his God-anointed purpose. See, remember at the very beginning we had talked about how Samuel came to anoint David to be king. There was an anointing, a very specific anointing on David's life. He was anointed to become the king of Israel. But if you continue to watch the story and read the story of David's life, it didn't happen overnight. He probably is hoping it would have, but no, he gets anointed and he goes back to being a shepherd. And then we have this incident of Goliath that's in between those time frames. It actually took somewhere between 14 and 22 years for him to become king. That's a long time to wait. I don't know about y'all. I don't like waiting. Maybe I'll blame it on our culture. Our culture has designed us not to wait. Just kidding. I just have never liked waiting. but that is a very long time. And yet throughout those 14 to 22 years, David remained faithful. He remained faithful to the Lord. He became king at 30 and reigned as king for 40 years until he died. And in those 40 years, David experiences both good times and bad times. We see a lot of his reign and those challenges that he faces as well. But whether it was a good time or a bad time, he remained faithful to God to fulfill the purpose he was anointed for. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. We are here for him, to bring him glory. And our purposes can be different. Maybe he's called you through a very specific work field. You know, your workplace is where he's got you right now. There's a purpose in your workplace. There's a purpose in your family. There's a purpose in your everyday mundane life. Maybe God has called you into something a little bit more specific when it comes to ministry, like pastoralship ministry or missions or something in those lines. There is a purpose that we are anointed for. All of us have been anointed by God to do something. In the Old Testament, you see prophets, priests, kings, judges. They were all anointed. We are also called into the royal priesthood, and we find that in the New Testament. We have the anointed one dwelling within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Holy Spirit is the one that anoints and brings power, and he's the one that gives us the ability. Where God calls you, he's going to equip you. You may not feel like you're qualified. And that's usually a good place to feel, that you're not, if you don't feel qualified, because it makes you trust in the Lord and trust that he's going to be faithful to provide what you need to be able to actually complete the call on your life. He will equip you when he calls you. He will anoint you. We have an anointed purpose that is to work through and in our callings. So we speak about that. So what is the anointed purpose? And we find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and was committed to us and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. To be reconciled back to Christ. A little hot in here. But one of our main purposes is to share the gospel, to help show that there is a way back to Jesus. There is a way to receive forgiveness, to receive that reconciliation. We have the ministry of reconciliation. When we hold that in, it's not being fair to those around us, because there's such a precious gem that we have to offer. Part of our faithfulness to the Lord is allowing him to use us to fulfill that ministry of reconciliation. And allowing him to use us in our callings. One of the things that's really cool about David, and something that we get to see, we see the good side of David and how strong he was for the Lord, but we also get to see the fact that David was still human, that David still made mistakes, that David still messed up. And in this, David was faithful even in repentance. There are a couple of instances or stories that the Bible specifically talks about in the whole part of David being faithful to repent. There's when he had his thing with Bathsheba as well. That was a whole ordeal. But everything after said and done, David messed up big with Bathsheba. He committed adultery. He murdered. He then was called out on the carpet for it. And when he was approached and realized what he had done and realized how wrong it was, he didn't just go say, whatever, it is what it is. No, he had a repentive heart, and he broke down before the Lord and asked him to forgive him as well. God called him out on his sin, and David had the option to be faithful and repent and give his life back to the Lord, or to continue to walk away from the God. And he chose the first. There's also the story about when he was going to do a census on the Israelite armies and seeing how many Israelites were there. And that was something that was not okay with God. And so he goes about, he says, no, go ahead, you know, count everyone, see how many people we have in Israel. And his right-hand man, he's like, I don't know, we shouldn't do that. But David said, do it anyways. So they take a census, and it comes in, and then immediately David's like, oh, what did I just do? I shouldn't have done that. And God comes to him as well, and once again, David repents. And he asked the Lord to forgive him. David was faithful unto God when he repented. So when we mess up, when we fall, when sin tries to creep into our lives, we need to be faithful and ask the Lord to help us repent. We need to ask for his forgiveness. Other kings, such as King Asa and Ahab, they were given the opportunity to turn back to God, and yet they refused and were found unfaithful, and they suffered greatly. Like I said, Old Testament's full of all sorts of stories about kings and what they did and didn't do, and can be examples for us. You know, oftentimes we feel we fail God when we stumble or even fall, but we are found faithful unto him when we repent. And David showed this over and over and over again. You know, one of the Psalms 51 actually is his prayer of repentance to the Lord for what he had done. Let's see. And this repentance is from his sin with Bathsheba. And I am going to take the time to hear his heart. He says, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone I have sinned. That's just a brief glimpse of that passage. But David recognizes what he did was wrong. And that's what true repentance is. You've got to recognize what you've done is wrong and want to change. And he's faithful, and he shows us that example. David's trademark was he was faithful unto God. So what about for you? If I were to go to find your friends, because I can ask you, and you would say, yeah, I'm faithful. I'm faithful to God. But what about what your circle say? Because they're the ones that are watching. They're the ones that see when you go through the hardship. They're the ones that see you at work when you're like, oh, I really can't handle this today. You know, coworkers bugging you, all sorts of things. They see you for who you are. So if I were to go to your friend circles and ask, is Gunnar faithful? Then I would have to, they would give you an honest answer, especially those that are of the world. They're going to see. And so that's something to think about. what would they say? Do they see the faithfulness? Do they see that fruit in me? And if they don't, why not? Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Basically, you don't want to be that. That's painful. So that brings us to our next thought. Being found faithful by others should be a goal for Christians. Remember, at the very beginning, we said we need to be faithful to God, and we need to be faithful to others as well. So if you don't remember anything out of this message, remember those two things. Faithful to God and faithful to others. The fruit of faithfulness is not toward God only, but also towards others in our lives. What's the point of having fruit if it's not to share with others? David was faithful to more than just God. If you think back to his story, he had a really good friendship, deep friendship with Jonathan, which was the King Saul's son. And Jonathan asked him to be kind to his household when David became king, and that's found in 1 Samuel 20. So, before he even becomes king, Jonathan is asking this one request of David. Please remain faithful to my family. Remember me. Later, after Jonathan is dead and gone, David finds one of his sons. He actually has this, like, word for now. Excuse me. Mephibosheth. I will not pronounce that right. But basically, he was Jonathan's son, and he was crippled in his feet. Hold on. And so this is after David became king, and he found out that Jonathan still had a son living who basically was disabled. And what he does is he remembers what he had told Jonathan, that he would be faithful to his family. And so David takes this young boy into his home, and he sits him at the king's table. He's showing honor by saying, hey, come eat with me at my table. He made sure that someone was able to take care of his land and provide everything that he needed for him as well. And then also, so not only does David show faithfulness to Jonathan, but Jonathan also showed Shimei, who was a man from Saul's family. At the time when Absalom was taken over, David was running, and Shimei comes out and starts throwing things and just calling all about, like, cursing David and everything. And David's men wanted to kill him. But David spared him. When David returned to his house, Shimei pleaded for mercy, and David gave them mercy and was found faithful. He spared him and then gave him mercy again as well. So he's showing kindness and faithfulness to not just God, but to those in his life as well. We also should be found faithful in all that we do. So if it's that important that we should be found faithful in all that we do, we need to understand what faithfulness is. Because if you don't know what something is, you can't apply it to your life correctly. You can try to apply something, but you might be applying it the wrong way as well. So faithfulness, here are a few different things that can kind of help us grasp a bigger picture of what it is. Faithfulness is trustworthy. Trustworthy in public and in private, in our relationships, with our money, with everything that we are doing. Are you a trustworthy person? In the public, they may see that you're trustworthy. But are you also found trustworthy in your private life and just your home itself? Do you have two faces? one for everyone to see and one for just the home. And that shouldn't be the case. We should be the same person when we're in the public eye and when we're in the private eye, and God's eye alone. It's the integrity. Are we reliable in our commitments? Can you be counted on? You know, at work, we have opportunities to bring food for potlucks and things like that. And I think even in that, are you reliable in your commitment? Are you going to bring what you said you're going to bring? It's something as small as that, as simple. That's an everyday, mundane life. Are you committed? If you are employed, are you committed to going and showing up at your workplace? Can your employer count on you? Is your word worth something? Or are you the one that everyone talks about and says, oh, yeah, they said they were going to do that, but they're not. They won't be there. They won't bring it. Because they've proclaimed one thing with their mouth, but showed a completely different thing with their actions. They're no longer trustworthy. And if you're not trustworthy, you can't be faithful. Dependable. You don't surprise people. You are dependable. People know that they can count on you. Those kind of goes with being, carrying out through your commitments, being dependable as well. Something else to think about when faithfulness is in play is loyal. Am I loyal in my relationship with my words, my walk, and my work? We really need this one. For your word to actually mean something again. Once you burn that bridge, it's really hard to get it back, but you can work to prove that you are going to be faithful, you are dependable as well. But I have people in my own life where I don't depend on them. I know if they're going to tell me one thing, they're going to do the exact opposite. I don't want to be that person. As a follower of Christ, we should not want to fall into that category. We should be the ones that they're saying, yeah, let's call on Becky to come and fill in because I know that she's dependable. We can count on her to come. You know, even in the workplace, when people are out sick, they're like, oh, maybe we can call this person in because I know that they're dependable and they'll show up. We want that type of reputation as Christians. If we have that reputation, then we're showing faithfulness in our life. Speaking of the workplace, there was a Persian legend that tells us that a certain king needed a faithful servant and had to choose between two candidates for the office. He took both at fixed wages and told them to fill a basket with water from a nearby well, saying that he would come in the evening to inspect their work. After dumping one or two buckets of water into the basket, one of the men said, "What is the good of doing this useless work? As soon as we pour the water in, it runs out the side." The other answered, "But we have our wages, haven't we? The use is the master's business, not ours." "I'm not going to do such fool's work," replied the complainer. Throwing down his bucket, he went away. The other man continued until he had drained the well. Looking down into it, he saw something shining at the bottom, which proved to be a diamond ring. "Now I see the use of pouring water into the basket," he exclaimed. "If the bucket had brought up the rings before the well was dry, it would have been found in the basket. Our work was not useless." You know, sometimes it feels like our faithfulness is not getting us anywhere. Sometimes when we take and look and examine your life, you're like, "Lord, I've been so faithful, but here I am once again in this predicament. What is going on?" But then I think about Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I love this illustration because it points out our job is to be faithful even when we don't understand what's going on. When we don't understand the plan that God has for us, our job is to be obedient and faithful. That is all that he's asking of us. And knowing that when he is faithful to take care of us, he shows it to you time and time after again. So even in the midst of not understanding what God is doing or being able to see behind the scenes, our job is to be faithful. To be faithful to him. We just keep being faithful no matter what. There should always be a change in our lives as we grow in our relationship with the Lord. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." There should be a change for good. That change comes from our relationship with Christ. As we grow in relationship, we will produce more of his fruit. And then those around us will benefit as well. And they will be able to see that we are different. As a Christian, we should not be recognized by the world as a worldly person. We should be recognized as different. We should be the one that stands out because we don't follow pursuit in the cultural ways. Lovingly, we need to be loving as well in our differences. So today, remember that faithfulness, we need to be faithful to God and faithful to others. And with that, we'll be able to have the power to help change our environments. People will be able to see that you're reliable, dependable. And then that starts up other conversations of why? Why are you the way you are? Well, let me tell you why. See, I know this person. I know Jesus. There's an opportunity as we produce the fruit that the Holy Spirit wants us to produce so that we can go back to that ministry of reconciliation. But if we're not bearing the fruit, then we are dying inside. And instead, people will smell the stench around us and not be approachable. We won't be approachable. So apply, see how you can apply faithfulness to your life this week as well. Because it's something, you know, I mentioned at the very beginning, as I was reading this message and preparing, it hit hard. God's faithfulness. I have seen him be so faithful in my life. In the short amount of time that I've been on this earth, he has taken me for a whirlwind and has been faithful every step of the way. And so that rose up inside of me of realizing he's so faithful, then why can't I be that faithful to him too? And faithful in reading scripture, faithful in spending time with him, faithful in being a little bit more bolder and sharing the gospel, faithful in putting a smile on my face when I have a hard time with customers. Things like that. We have so many opportunities to show his faithfulness. And you never know whose life you are going to touch and change because of your faithfulness.